Welcome. We're going to explore something truly meaningful today, really curated with you in mind.
Yes, we are. We're stepping into the heart of a really powerful Sunday morning message.
This was delivered by missionaries Hal and Beth Hansen just this past August 3rd, 2025, over at New Life Benson.
And our aim, really, is to pull out the most vital insights from, well, not just the sermon, but the whole service.
Right. We're focusing specifically on what it means, what it really means, to live a life of faith and holiness as Christians.
Especially today in what often feels like a challenging world.
The question we're sort of wrestling with is, how can their experiences, the things they shared, how can that equip us, you listening, to navigate uncertainty and, you know, truly thrive spiritually?
So picture this. A really vibrant church service. It felt alive right from the start.
Yeah, it began with some earnest prayer, moved into really uplifting worship.
And there's a special observance of the Lord's Supper, too, and then incredibly moving 5 baptisms.
It just created this amazing backdrop, setting the stage perfectly for a message on some, well, deep spiritual truths.
Definitely pertinent for us as believers today.
So let's talk about Hal and Beth Hansen.
Okay, so they've given 28 years. Think about that. Nearly 3 decades serving in Thailand.
Specifically at a school there, and they've been faithfully supported by congregations like New Life Benson all that time.
That level of dedication is just remarkable. Commitment, sacrifice.
And now they find themselves in this unexpected transition, a real shift.
The door to their school, the one they poured so much into, it's closed.
And they genuinely don't know yet where the Lord is leading them next.
It does make you think of Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? Being led by God, but without that clear map, that destination in sight.
That kind of uncertainty.
Ah.
Wow, it must be incredibly tough to walk through.
Oh, absolutely. And Beth shared such a vivid picture of this.
She did.
Yes. She said when that door closed in Thailand, her immediate reaction, you know, the very human thing, her brain just wanted to scheme and plan. To figure out the next step herself.
That's so relatable, isn't it? That impulse to try and control things when everything feels uncertain.
Exactly. But then she contrasted that with what she felt the Lord was telling her spirit.
Okay, what was that?
A clear instruction. Rest and wait on me to tell you what it is, and I'm going to tell you through your husband.
Through her husband specifically, that's significant.
It is, and she was very open about the struggle. The difficulty of waiting.
She mentioned feeling homeless in the U.S. since May of last year.
Yes, and not knowing about their belongings back in Thailand and just that impatience asking the Lord, you know, can you tell me now?
It highlights that waiting isn't passive, is it?
Not at all. It's an active surrender. And the Lord's response to her impatience wasn't the answer itself.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was a call to flex your spiritual muscle.
Flex your spiritual muscle. I like that. What did that involve for her?
It meant first reaffirming God's total sovereignty over her life, everything. Remembering his good plans, like in Jeremiah 29.11, that he has purposes for her.
Mm-hmm.
Recalling that he has a work prepared for her from the beginning. Ephesians 2.10 talks about that.
Right.
And just accepting that God, as king, decides when he reveals his plans. Not us.
That's a tough one, but so freeing when you grasp it.
It really is.
Yeah.
And Beth's core message for all of us, for you listening, is the absolute necessity of going back to the truth.
The truth in God's word, the Bible.
Yes. As the only way to live successfully, especially now.
She described walking by faith as not just one decision, but a continuous thing.
Step by step. Day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute choice. That's what she said.
And that choice is only possible because the Holy Spirit lives in us.
Exactly. That constant, intentional choosing to trust moment by moment. It's essential for navigating today's world.
And Hal was also very transparent, wasn't he?
He was. He brought up the question of whether their continued support was, quote, good stewardship while they're in this transition.
That takes courage to question your own support like that.
It really shows their commitment to God's principles, even when things are personally uncertain.
So what's their plan now?
They're planning to go back to Thailand for about 50 days, specifically to seek God's direction for what's next.
Just seeking his leading, that speaks volumes.
It really does. And that dedication, that focus on God's character, leads us right into Hal's main message.
Okay, the sermon itself, it was titled Holiness, God's and Ours.
Right. It started with Psalm 99, verse 5. Exalt Jehovah our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy, holy.
And then he asked that fundamental question. Do we think of ourselves more as holy or more as sinners?
It's a searching question. Because often we feel like sinners, don't we?
We do. But Hal's point was the truth. God is the one who makes us holy.
So it's not about boasting in anything we are or do.
No, it's boasting in his incredible work in us.
And Hal broke down God's holiness into two profound aspects.
Okay, what were those?
First, that God is otherly. He's unique.
Yeah.
Fundamentally different from us.
Different in what way?
His attributes, love, justice, mercy, holiness, they're perfectly pure, perfectly balanced in a way that's just beyond our full grasp.
So we've barely scratched the surface of understanding him.
Exactly. Hal said we've barely begun to know his grace, his love, his patience, or his holiness.
He mentioned Psalm 34.8.
Oh, taste and see that Jehovah's good. He presented it as this lifelong, eternal invitation to keep drawing closer, keep discovering more.
That's beautiful, an ongoing journey.
And the second aspect.
That God is utterly separate from sin, completely pure, unblemished, unstained.
He can't do evil. It's not in his nature.
He used an illustration about water, right?
Yeah, like purified water can become impure again.
Yeah.
But God's holiness, it's intrinsic. It never changes, never diminishes.
He is the standard of holiness itself.
Absolutely. And it follows then that his word is also holy.
Unique, pure, separate, always true, a reflection of him.
Perfectly put.
Then Hal took us somewhere quite challenging, to Jeremiah.
Ah, yes, Jeremiah 23.9, where Jeremiah's heart is just broken.
Broken over the judgment coming on the false prophets. He knew God's holy word, his justice, but he felt agony for them.
He did. Which led Hal to ask us, and you listening, when we see false teaching today or people in error,
what's our reaction? Is it compassion, like Jeremiah?
Or do we sometimes just wish God would, you know, attend to them, deal with them?
Oof, that's convicting. He tied it back to John 3.1 scene, didn't he?
He did. God's incredible love for all people, even those who are wrong, his desire that none should perish.
And that kind of compassion, that love is so vital for us as Christians to show in the world today.
Absolutely crucial.
Right.
Which brings us right to this core issue, our own transformation into holiness.
We face this dilemma, right? A perfectly holy God and then us, unholy mankind.
Romans 3 makes it painfully clear. There is none righteous, no, not one.
And because God is perfect, he has to deal with sin. There's no sweeping it under the rug.
But then comes the glorious solution. The absolute heart of our faith.
Jesus, he bore our sin.
He took it all upon himself, transforming us, making us holy, everyone who trusts in him.
It's a complete identity shift.
It truly is. And Hal really helped clarify the difference between our condition and our position.
Okay, explain that a bit more.
Well, our condition is that, yes, we still struggle with sin in these earthly bodies. We mess up.
Right, that's the daily reality sometimes.
But our position in Christ, that's different. It's secure. Because of what he did, we are declared holy, righteous.
Like citizenship versus daily behavior.
That's a great analogy. Your citizenship is fixed, even if you have a bad day. Our position in Christ is fixed as holy, even when our condition is imperfect.
He mentioned Hebrews 2.11.
Yes, where Jesus, the one who makes us holy, isn't ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, part of his holy family.
So in God's eyes, because of Jesus, we are actually more holy than we are sinful.
That's the truth Hal emphasized.
Yeah.
Our identity is rooted in Christ's holiness.
And our calling, then, is to live out of that identity.
To live like a son of the king, a holy one, walking in the holiness he's already provided. It's not something we strive for in order to be accepted.
It's something we walk in because we are accepted.
Precisely. He also distinguished mercy and grace.
Mercy is not getting the bad we deserve.
And grace is getting the good we could never, ever earn. Like holiness itself.
And how we think about this deeply impacts how we live.
Absolutely. If you're constantly dwelling on, I'm just a sinner, well, you're probably more likely to act like one.
But if you focus on God's provision,
on the fact that his Holy Spirit lives in you, that the life of Christ himself is leading you, it changes everything.
It becomes a walk of faith, trusting his provision, not just relying on our feelings, which go up and down.
Exactly. Faith, not feelings. And it's an ongoing transformation.
This isn't a one-time fix.
No. Hal quoted 2 Corinthians 3.18 as we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord Jesus, just by looking at him, focusing on him.
We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory.
As by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's his work in us as we keep our eyes on Jesus.
So the call to action is quite practical then.
Very. Actively look for Jesus. Seek him. Walk with him. Thank him for making you holy.
And like Jeremiah, cultivate that deep compassion for neighbors, for friends who don't know him yet.
And be ready to share God's transforming word with them. That's living out our holiness.
Beyond the sermon, there were these other powerful moments in the service, too.
The Lord's Supper and those five baptisms. Very tangible expressions of faith.
The pastor shared something quite vulnerable about ministry, didn't he?
He did. He reflected that ministry can often be heartbreaking.
Why?
Because of people's resistance sometimes. Resistance to change, resistance to God's word.
That's honest.
But then he contrasted that human heartbreak with the ultimate heartbreak, Jesus Christ's.
Going to the cross, sinless, bearing our sins, offering his righteousness.
The costliest exchange imaginable.
And the Lord's Supper elements really brought that home.
The broken bread, his body broken for us, the new covenant in his blood.
A single sacrifice, enough for everyone, for all time. It's staggering when you pause to think about it.
It truly is. And then those baptisms, such powerful public declarations.
It was wonderful to hear their names and a little bit about them, Angus, celebrating his birthday.
Caitlin, Michaela, who makes dill pickle spears, the pastor noted.
Huh, right. Brittany and Mike.
And each one making that public statement, professing faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
Believing in his sinless life, his death, burial, resurrection.
And that he's in heaven now, interceding for us.
And they made it clear, baptism is that outward step of obedience.
Yes, demonstrating the inner reality of salvation, not the means of salvation. A beautiful picture of lived out faith.
And Mike, one of those baptized, gave a closing quote.
Yes, from Ephesians 5. Follow God as dear children and walk in love.
Just tying it all together. Holiness lived out in love, especially important for us today.
So looking back, we've covered quite a journey. From the Hansons' uncertain but spirit-led path.
All the way to these profound truths about God's absolute holiness and his amazing work in making us holy.
And we saw how these truths aren't just abstract ideas, but things lived out in vulnerable faith, in community, in public declarations.
So for you listening as you navigate the world today, remember, God is sovereign. He has perfect plans for you.
He has the power to transform you into holiness. Your calling is to walk by faith. Trusting him, not just your circumstances or feelings.
And let that compassion of Jeremiah well up in you for those around you who don't yet know Jesus. Be ready to share.
And maybe here's something to ponder this week. What specific aspect of God's otherness, his unique holy nature, could you seek to understand just a little bit more deeply?
And how might letting that aspect of God sink in, how might it change the way you face challenges or interact with the people God puts in your path this week?